that is how it is portrayed. So everything around you're good, but you could be better if you're married. You know, like, and it comes in all different kinds of forms.
Adulting is a roller coaster of really high highs, low lows, and everything in between. If you are in the thick of this ride and changing your mind every 2 seconds about whether you are enjoying it or not, you're in the right place. Every 2 weeks, join the Adulting Out Loud hosts as we talk through our experiences as certified adults, offering each other encouragement, inspiration, and a good laugh. We hope to leave you feeling refreshed and ready to face everything adulting has in store for you. Thanks for listening. Hi guys, welcome to another episode of the Adulting Out Loud podcast. I'm your host, Yunia, as usual, and I'm joined by Carol. Hi, Carol.
Hey, Yunia.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks.
And we are joined again by our friend Gracie Kimani. Grace, hi, how are you?
I'm fine, Yunia. How are you?
I'm good. We are glad to have you back this week.
Thank you.
So today we are talking about adulting and being single, and we are defining singleness here as not married. Just a disclaimer, these girls are not, we are not saying they are experts, please. They are not experts in singleness or singlehood. That would just be so, that would be so shady, so much shade, but no. They are not. We're just having this discussion that we have had off the mic among ourselves, and we think
yes.
And we think it's time to bring it to the world, from us to the world. So, ladies, we're going to just dive right in. When were you first starkly aware of your singleness? Was it an age thing? Was it a social setting? Are you starkly aware of your singleness, or are you just living your life?
Wow. I don't know whether to say it's about age or it's about social setting. I think both of them, they play at different times. There's some days it really hits hard. You're like, I was going to get to this age still single. No, I was. Of course, before, as I planned my life, I did not plan to get to 30 single. I had not planned that. But now here I am. Wow, how did we get here? You're reminded by the people around you, either friends, either family members, or people who just make some comments, and then you realize, by the way, Chris is single. I think it goes both ways. There are days you feel this should have happened actually yesterday, and there are days I'm like, I'm having a blast. I don't even remember I am single. So it's a roller coaster of different things, depending on the day, depending on the people that are around me. There are those days that I am celebrating my singlehood, my being single, and there are those days I'm like, what?
You're saying sometimes you're aware, sometimes you're not. Like, it ebbs and flows. Like, there are some situations that will remind you, like, oh, by the way, like, in this situation, I am largely aware that I am single, and there are some situations where you're like, whatever, you're just living your life. It's not even something.
Oh, yes.
But from what you've said, I want to ask you something. Because you're saying when you were planning your life, you never imagined you'd reach 30 and you're single. And for me, that's where the question lies. Why the number 30? Is it society that put the number 30 in your head, and you're feeling like, no, I can't get to 30? Is it just a personal thing that you had when you are young? Like, what is it? Why that number? Because for some people, maybe it could have been 21, 20.
Right.
Like, why the number 30?
I think, first of all, you see, some of these things, they you start being clear about what you want, maybe in campus or at some level. Like, when I was in campus, when I was almost finishing, and also I was dating by the time I was finishing campus. So kind of my mind had started narrowing down to what I would want and what I was envisioning. So I knew that now I have a relationship that was leading to marriage, because we had settled things. We are like, now we are in for this and we are headed this direction. So my mind was kind of shaped towards that direction. And I knew that now if I finish at this point, my university, then I give myself maybe 1 year. That was my plan. So It was because I had met someone who was ready for me and I was ready for him. So it had been shaped because of that. Not that I had set when I was growing up, but because by the time I was finishing campus, I had this clear thing that this guy is in my life. He wants this and this and this, and we are ready to go for it. So it had set a precedent, like I know by 30 we would be married. So yeah, so that's why I had that in mind.
I think for me, I think just as Grace said, it's both an age thing and also like a social setting where you really become aware of your singleness. But I think for me, it's more, I look at it also from my upbringing. I don't know about you guys, but it seemed like most of the things we were doing or the parenting that our parents gave us, like how they brought us up, it was like everything seemed to prepare you for marriage or like learn this, and because one day you're going to need it when you're married or you'll have a family. So from like such a young age, that is already built in you that at a certain time you have to be in a relationship and you have to be married, right? So that is the expectation that is already built in us. Oh, it was built in me when I was younger. And so it made marriage be a guarantee. And so also like, also in our Christian circles, like for me, I really became Christian at a young age. But even then, I remember in our youth groups, things about purity were all geared towards marriage. Right. So like you keep yourself
for your husband.
Yeah. For your husband.
Yeah.
So such a tender age, you're already having that in your mind, the expectation that one day I have to be married. Right. But then as you, of course, just as Grace shared, like the social settings also like differ, and then of course, age, you go through college, school, and then you start hearing questions of, oh, do you have a boyfriend? So what is that telling you that you, like, if you don't, then, like, it's kind of weird. So I think for me, it's that I became firstly aware of my singleness, I would say, at uni, at university, especially in our third year of uni, when you're about to leave campus, and it's like almost all the friends around you had relationships or others were already planning their weddings and marriage, and all of a sudden you have no relationship, you're not in any relationship, and then you start like to panic or to think, oh, why don't I have a relationship at this point? Am I going to be like single? So for me, I think that is the time when it really starkly stood out for me that
So how did you deal with that? Did it stick with you from then till now? Does it ebb and flow like Gracie? And how do you deal with it?
Well, then there was a realization, and like it stuck out that I was single, but then I don't remember grieving or like resenting that I was single and that maybe I really wanted to have a relationship. Of course, it's not that there weren't moments or times where you thought, well, I think I should also like have a relationship and get married. But for me, it was never the level of where it was too much pressure. And I'm thinking, oh, I need to really do something about it. I found myself just really pursuing my dreams and moving on with life. And then so many things happened in my life, and I felt myself really with having this assurance and contentment of, you know, just do, live your life now and just do whatever you're doing now. To have the conviction that my identity wasn't really found in whether I was getting married at that point or having a relationship, but more living the season I was in then joyfully and doing what I felt like God was bringing my way. So I think for me, I just took it moment by moment and Yeah, I lived life. And of course, as you go through different social settings, it becomes more apparent, like as you see most of your friends getting married, or you find yourselves in situations where you are like in church settings and you're surrounded by all these couples, and maybe you are like the only one who is not married. But then for me, that hasn't really deterred me from like just living life, I would say.
What about you, Gracie?
Just like Carol, the moment I realized my identity is not in marriage, my identity is not by having children, I think it was the most liberating moment of my life.
Yeah, yeah. I hear you. So ladies, what is some of the bad advice you've had people give to single people, all that has been given to you?
Wow. Top on the list is when someone tells you, now that you don't seem like you're interested in marriage, why don't you get a child? At least you have something to look to. I think that is one of the top on the list, that people think that if you're not getting married, then get a baby. I've not been able to understand, why would someone tell you to go get a child?
Yeah,
that's right. Like really top on the list of what people have said to me as well. But I think that most of the advice that people have given or continue to give is really derived from the value that is attached to marriage. And so that singleness doesn't have really a place in society. At least that is what, that is how it is portrayed. So everything around you're good, but you could be better if you're married. You know, like, and it comes in all different kinds of forms, where people the counsel they are giving you is also geared towards showing you that we think you are missing out on something. You could be better if you at least had a child. I think that's where people give you advice of at least just get a child, because your biological clock is ticking and you need to have at least someone, like you need to at least have a child to take care of. Or other people would tell you, okay, I've been told like you're beautiful, you're bright, you have all this, but like, how are you not married? Like, and so they're like, do something about it. And the something they're telling you to do, like, is more like, you know, like put yourself out there. How? We don't even know. but like, they're like, just get anyone and marry, which is not good, because then it doesn't align with your values. And sometimes you receive good counsel from, you know, genuine people that are placing your worth before anything they are saying. But I feel like most times it's get a man, get a child, and do anything that can make you acquire or get some of that, and then you have what you're missing out on.
Yeah, I think for me the worst advice I've had is to not be ambitious, because if I say over ambitious, the word over will already make it negative. But
like, don't
to not be
dream, like stay in a limbo, yes, and wait for marriage
to be exactly. So they'll be like, they'll say, maybe the reason you're single is because you've done that master's,
you're degree, setting high standards,
or you're doing that PhD, or maybe the reason you're single is because you're earning all this money, maybe don't go after that job. Don't be like trying to be like lessen yourself so that the men who come after you are not intimidated. That is horrible. Yeah. I feel like that is the worst.
Yeah, like that is another way of saying, don't live your life, put it on hold. Just
first of all, get married.
Yes, exactly. They even tell you first of all, get married. Even in terms of money and investment, and they're like, why would you invest? Like, why would you be buying land or buying a house or doing all that when you're not married? I think for me that's just horrible. But what is some of the good stuff that you've had been given, or good advice that has been given to you?
Yeah, I think the good stuff is not usually dominant, really. It's rare.
So it's hard to think of, to remember.
Yeah.
Hello,
it's even, yes, it's hard to remember it, but also, yeah, it's, most of it is the pressure, and most of it is the advice is mostly focusing you towards, you're missing out, so you should be looking forward to that. And so the eyes are off where you are now. But some of the good things I've had people say is, I think it's more like an admiration. I wouldn't say that people, like to me, I wouldn't say that people have said maybe good things or given good advice, but it's more like an admiration of the beauty of this season, the fact that you are able to do so many things and that you're living your life out beautifully in this season, and you're able to accomplish so many things that you wouldn't accomplish if you were married or if you had other commitments like children and a husband to take care of.
That's yeah. Nice. What about you, Gracie? What's some of the good advice you've had?
Just like Carol is saying, maybe people admiring and wanting what you have, like you are able to have your freedom and be able to be at liberty to do your life. I think, and seeing how much you, maybe when they look at you and see like you're so contented and everything is working out for you because you're single, I think the bit of admiration is what is top on the list. All other things are pressure for no reason. So
maybe people don't know what to say or what advice to give.
Probably.
I feel like you can't say that you don't know because you are not married. Like we have all been single at some point.
Yeah.
So how can we who are married be better friends to our single friends? Like you guys have said, you literally cannot think of a single piece of good advice that you have been given, but you can say like, yeah, you like it when people affirm you and like don't just keep adding on the pressure. Yeah, so how can your married friends be better friends? Is it weird if we are trying to hook you up with our single guy friends or our single brothers? Is that weird? Stop doing that, please. Or are you thinking, why isn't this chick hooking me up with that single friend of hers? She's definitely not a good friend. Just share some of the ways.
I think, especially now that we are going for Christmas, we will go through some, we have to answer so many people. We'll have to ask her why another year is you coming for Christmas and still single. They did not take you to the in-laws. I think for me, I have one policy, like before you ask me that question, I am a believer. So I think if you're asking me that, please, before you come asking, are you praying for me? Do you think it's something that God has really intended for me to be partaker of marriage? I think that bit, if you're not praying for me, please keep at that. Don't come into asking me why I am not married. First of all, pray for me. And another thing is that sometimes you meet me and the only thing you're talking about is your husband. My husband did this. My husband did this. My husband did this. We are going to this one. My husband will take me. We are going to do this. My husband will take me this. It becomes too much to take. When the only thing we are talking about is your husband, everything that happens, you talk about, it's your husband who did it. It's your husband. It makes
you a newlywed.
No, I don't know, but it becomes too much. It feels like it suffocates. So I think the bit of bringing a lot of your husbands in our conversation, it should be limited. It triggers something in us.
What? Because I feel like it's a delicate balance. If I'm going to be around you and I can't speak about my husband, then of course you're now going to start feeling like now she can't even be comfortable around me, now she has to like walk on eggshells. So like
it's when it is overdone, like everything it's my husband did, my husband. It's not that you don't mention your husband, but don't do a lot of it.
Yeah,
don't overdo it. Just don't overdo it
in your face, my
yeah husband. Don't overdo it.
What are some of those things where you're telling your married friends, please just stop?
stop it already.
Not just stop. I absolutely agree with everything that Grace has said. I think I'll just re-echo that. I think first, be a true friend, really. I think for me, that's where it begins. Like, just be a friend. And a friend is really a friend. They will understand, they will value your life, where you are, and they will care. So I think everything they will tell you or they will do, when you do something for a friend, you do it with caution, like with care, but out of, you know, a loving heart. So whatever it is, it will be really out of an overflow of a good friendship. So I think for me, this is the starting point of it all. Like, be friends to your single friends, like real friends. And in turn, they will be friends to your family. And I think if we have a friendship, then like you wish the best for your friend. You wouldn't give, I don't know, counsel that is... that would destroy your friend. So I think for me, that is the starting point. And then being a friend also means involve them in your family, like let them know your children, of course, your husband, to the boundaries we talked about previously. But like just, you know, helping your single friends be a friend to your family. Because I think it really helps a lot to, as a single person, to have families as friends. Second, I think the other thing that I would really, I hope that my married friends do for me, because I do that for them. And Grace mentioned that already, that I really believe so much in prayer. And I do pray for my married friends, for their families, for their husbands, for their children, and that, you know, that they would live out God's purpose for them in that season, that their marriage would really give glory to God, that their children will actually turn out to be godly children, just for them to guard the beauty of the season they are in. So I pray for that, for them. And so I think what married friends could also do for their single friends is to actually genuinely and intentionally pray for your single friends, like beyond asking them if, you know, you found someone or is there anyone in your life now, but are you praying? Like, I think it is important that
we know how to pray, like, are you dating? So that if you're dating, I'm not here crying out to God for you to start dating. And he's like, girl, please, Caro is already dating. Okay.
Yeah, and I think, yes. And what I'm saying is, I mean, if you are friends, you will talk and you will know where your friends are at. And then that can guide how you can continue praying for them. And for me, I think that is a big one. And so pray for them to, like, you pray for a husband, and I think that is great. But I think for me, above that, you should also pray that you pray for our identity now, for our worth in the season we are in now, because you also need to pray or to help us, or whatever advice you give, it should be aligned with helping us
now, helping, like where you are now,
like live life now and rejoice in the gift that they have now. Yeah, and also I think that it's that delicate balance how you do it.
So what are some of the things that you're enjoying about this season?
Living life.
We're also living,
right? Yeah, you're also living, but I think the married friends make you seem like, for you, you're living life.
Yes.
Like you're able to travel, you can do that and that, you can just manage your schedule, wake up and do what you want to do. I think that is great. It's like a benefit on this side. So I've enjoyed that I'm able to, as Yunia said, like, I think if you take it in the light of I'll not life be in limbo waiting for marriage to happen, but then doing what you are supposed to do, pursuing your dreams, I think it's really beautiful because you do so much with life now when you do not have other commitments of children and a husband and everything that comes with marriage. So I've loved the freedom to do a lot. So I think for me, something that I've loved is being able to just be involved in service at different churches in different places and countries. I found that to be really beautiful. Yeah, there is a freedom to that, actually, whereby even decision-making as well, like, I wouldn't say it comes easily, but it's swifter, I would say. It's easier also because you're not thinking, like, it's you and then perhaps your family, your siblings, but it's mostly you. And if whatever you're making is the right decision at that point, so you're not having to juggle family or schools for kids. So those other factors are minimized.
Grace, what are some of the things that you enjoy?
There's the freedom of so many things. Like, I can decide today there's no cooking in my house. I will wake up at this time. I will sleep at this time. I will do this at whatever time. There's that freedom that comes with being single. There's the beauty of that. And also being able to serve people, like, generally, like, I'm able to serve people selflessly. You cannot do much, by the way, Yunia, because you have your own family. Like, say I will be able to, I can just be saying, like, Yunia is unwell, and I can take my luggage and be at Yunia's home for a week helping out, which is not possible for you.
Why
you
get not?
For a week.
I would like to think it is.
Yeah, I think we can do all those things, Yunia, even as a married person. It's just that the devotion is like undivided for people who are not married.
We are closing it off here. And thank you for sharing your experiences. And to our listeners, would love to hear from you about your experience adulting and being single. What are some of the pressures that you face, if any? What is some of that bad advice that you've had given to you or that you have given? What is some of that good advice that you have gotten about being single? Affirmations. Would love to hear from you. Share with us. Otherwise, that's all from us today. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.